Revelation 13 then. Draw your attention especially to the verse 10 tonight, the last part of the verse. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And then at the end of the chapter, verse 18, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding. Here is the endurance of the saints. Now, this chapter, I have said in the past, is divided into two clear parts. The first part is verses 1 through to 10, and that's about the beast that comes out of the sea. And the second part is the remaining part of the chapter, verse 11 to the end, and that is about the beast that comes out of the earth. And each part ends with a here, H-E-R-E. You have that in verse 10 at the end. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And then at the end of the second part, verse 18, here is wisdom. So that word here is capturing our attention. The Lord says here. So we have to stop at that spot and consider. John is spurring with this word here. It is another one of his sevens in the book. John is doing this all the time. He nearly seems to sometimes count his words in the book. It is usually used by him of place, of location, or what we would call the spot, that spot. The same spot. It's used, for example, in chapter 4, verse 1. Remember whenever John was called up to heaven, I heard a voice saying unto me, come up hither. That's this word, come up here. I want you to come up to this spot, to come to heaven, John, to this very place in the vision. And then, you remember the two witnesses, they heard a great voice from heaven crying unto them, come up hither, come up here. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud. Here in chapter 10 is a place where three Christian graces are exercised. It's not all wicked, chapter 13. Here's patience too. Here's faith as well. Here is wisdom also. So it's not all bad news, chapter 13. There are some who are meeting the challenge. There are some who are manifesting Christian grace and godliness, even in the midst of this chapter. Here is patience, faith, and wisdom. Not only in this chapter, in the text, but in this world. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying. There's still some people that have patience. There are still some people that have faith. Even here, in this wicked world. And the thought is that in these trying times that we have commenced to look at in chapter 13, in these trying times, there will be a high demand on the Christian church. The church in the world, while Christ is at God's right hand, will be a church in tribulation. A church that will go through the darkness. And that's what this book is all about, isn't it? It is explaining to the seven churches what a difficult world they're going to have to bear witness in. They're going to have to carry the testimony of Jesus Christ in this place. Remember the Lord's word, we often quote it as we've been looking at this book of the Revelation. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And you can write those words of Christ over this book. In the world you'll have tribulation. Here it is again in chapter 13. Throughout the whole book, the Christian church is to encounter the dragon, the great red serpent. The Christian church is to encounter the beast with the seven heads and the ten horns coming up out of the sea. And the church is to encounter the beast who has two horns like a lamb, speaking like a dragon, who comes up out of the earth. We have seen the kind of the world that these three monsters, these three wicked ones, bring to men. We saw last week the kind of world that it is. A world characterized by blasphemy. A world characterized by idolatry and violence and mass deception and tyranny. The tyranny of wicked rulers and governors, tyrannical rule. And how is the Christian church to meet that? How do you as a believer behave in such a wicked world when you encounter all of this? When you face this blasphemy and this idolatry and all of this opposition, this monstrous wickedness, what do you do whenever you encounter it? Well, here's the answer. Here's what the Lord wants to see in his people in this very world, in this place. He wants to be able to come by beside his people and to stand in his church as all these monsters arise up out of the earth. He wants to stand by his church and to be able to say concerning his church, here, in this place, even as that beast arises out of the sea and that beast arises out of the earth, here, here in my church is patience. And here in my church is the faith of the saints. And here is wisdom. And in my church, let him that has understanding. And so, this is the answer. This is how we are to encounter these things as believers, with patience, with faith, and with wisdom. So those are our three heads then. The patience of the saints. Here is the patience. Now by patience is meant endurance. Whenever something endures, it does not break under the pressure. It does not disintegrate with the stress. It endures. And we are glad of endurance in man-made structures and furniture, aren't we? You're glad whenever you sit on your chair every day. It's an enduring chair. It always is holding you up. It doesn't break under the weight or under the stress. And we're glad when we drive over bridges, human-made structures that they have been built to endure, and they endure the weight and the travel that goes over it every day, the daily load. But living souls, Christians, that experience all these pressures, they have to endure as well. And that's what the Lord means by patience. Here's patience. Here's endurance. The Lord sees endurance in his people. He's able to put his church through the tribulation, and he's able to look upon them and say, here is the endurance of the saints. That's how the Lord views his people. That's what he wants to see in his people. Living souls that don't give in, that don't succumb to the temptation, that don't, as it were, cut their links and sinfully, as it were, break away under the stress. They have patience. And that patience is seen in their continuance and their endurance. In the face of such beasts then, in the time of such temptations, such pressures, Christians face, that they must have patience, this grace. The word has a definite article. It's the patience. That's interesting. The endurance. The real endurance. The only endurance on the earth. The true endurance. You see, endurance is a Christian grace. It's something the Holy Spirit gives. The endurance. It's from above. One might think that the dragon and the beasts, they're enduring. They're enduring in their wickedness. They're enduring in the things that they do against God's people. But it is not true endurance. It's not what we're talking about tonight. It's not the endurance of the saints. The endurance in wickedness is not endurance, because the wicked shall be cut off and destroyed. They'll not continue. They'll not endure. And God won't allow them to endure. Here's endurance. The real endurance. The only endurance with the definite article. The only endurance in the chapter. Even the beast. He's only able to continue a certain amount of time, the chapter says. But here is the endurance. The going on and on. The continual progression without fail. The endurance in the Christian church. Only saints in the church will endure. The wicked, we know, will be destroyed, congregation. You see, these beasts, they don't have endurance. They're heading for a dreadful end. They're soon going to destruction in the lake of fire, as the book later on tells us. They'll soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. No endurance there. Thou carriest them away as with a flood, the Bible says. No endurance in the wicked. Wiped away. In the morning they're like grass. Oh, they grow up. Looks like it's going to endure. Looks like it's going to continue. In the morning it flourisheth up and groweth up. But in the evening, it's cut down. That's not the endurance. Here it is. Here's the endurance. In the church and among the saints. Remember how the psalmist had a bit of problem whenever he thought about the wicked. And he said, then I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I understood it. You put them in the slippery places. You cast them down into destruction. They're brought into desolation as in a moment. They don't endure. But here's the endurance of the saints. For the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, and he shall grow as a cedar in Lebanon. That's endurance. That's steadfastness. Believers are destined to shine, not only as lights in the world, but they'll so endure that they will go on to shine as the brightness of the firmament forever and forever. That's endurance. Do I believe in the perseverance of the saints? I do. Because it's in the Bible. It says it. Here is perseverance. Here is endurance. Here is continuance. So we're talking about perseverance tonight. It's taught in the scriptures. It's taught everywhere. And here it is in the text. Not falling away. Not lost tomorrow. No, here is continuance. And only the saints have it. The endurance of the saints. The word occurs, yes, you guessed it, 7 times in the book of the Revelation. Patience. Endurance. This perfection of Christian grace that enables the saint to continue to the end, even through the dark times of the book of the Revelation. Endurance. Perfect endurance. Here it is. Some of the 7 churches were commended for manifesting this grace in trials. You remember the church to the Ephesus? The Lord said, I know thy works and thy labor, and thy patience. I know it. Thou hast borne and hast patience, endurance. And to the church of Thyatira, the Lord said something similar. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience. You see, the Lord looks for it. He looks for it in his people. He wants it in his people. His Holy Spirit plants it in his people. And it's the one thing they have. Through thick and thin and all the troublesome times, it's the one thing that they get. The grace to endure. To continue. To the end. The temptations upon believers are immense. You know that congregation. Temptations that three monsters can bring upon a church and upon the world. Saints will be tempted. Saints will be tried. They'll be tested. They'll be tempted to do wrong. They'll be tempted to give in. They'll be tempted to deny the Lord. They'll be tempted to turn away from righteousness. They'll be tempted to water down the stand for Jesus Christ. Tempted and tested in every area. They'll be tested and tempted to submit to the ungodly laws. They'll be tempted to stop worshipping God. They'll be tempted to stop going to God's house. They'll be tempted to blend in with the wicked and to accept all these things. But we must remain steadfast. Continuance. Perseverance in our testimony and in our integrity. The Lord has taught us in his word that there is a soul that looks Christian. Looks Christian, I'm saying. The stony ground professors. Remember how the Lord told us about them? He that received the seed into stony places. The same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. These look like Christians. These look like believers. There has been joy, and there is some sort of growth that seems to be taking place. But they have no root. They have no connection to the Holy Spirit. They have no grace of endurance. And the Lord Jesus goes into the stony ground field and he says, there is no endurance here. Not here can endurance be found. No, not in the stony ground field can it be discovered. But here it is in the text. Here it is in the true church that has been driven into the wilderness to be persecuted by the Antichrist. Here it's found. And so of the stony ground here, we can say the patience of the saints is not found here. He hath not root in himself, the Lord Jesus Christ says, but dureth for a little while. Just a little while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, just like we read in the book of the Revelation, when that arises because of the word, by and by, the Lord Jesus says, he is offended. And off he goes. No endurance in the stony ground field. But amongst the true people of God who have faith, here it is. In the persecuted church. In the church driven into the wilderness. In the church that is bleeding its martyrs. Here it is. And the sufferings that they endure for righteousness' sake. And the persecutions believers face, they continue. It is shining forth. Even as they go to the stake, they continue in the faith. They have the grace of endurance. That's what the Lord wants to see. That's why he tries us in these days. That's why he makes us to live through the apostasy. Will we be steadfast? Will he be able to say to his bride when it's by his side, here they are, they've come out of great tribulation. They have the patience of the saints. They are unswerving in their devotion to the Lord. Unswerving. That's a good word, isn't it? They don't go off the course. Unswerving in their determination to keep the commandments of God. Unswerving in their goal to glorify God in the earth. Unswerving in life or in death. Here's the endurance, the unswerving spirit of God's people. You know, the Lord Jesus was unswerving, wasn't he? He was unbending in his righteousness. At every point in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ on the earth, the church can say, here is endurance. Here it is in the head. Here it is in our living head, our Redeemer. And the Lord Jesus should be able to say, here it is in my body. Here it is in the church. Endurance in the head. Endurance in the body. And the Lord Jesus had that endurance before the scribes and the chief priests and the Pharisees who daily tempted him. Here is the endurance of our Lord. Do you remember how the apostle put it? Consider him that endured. He endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. He was facing it all the time. You consider the endurance of your Lord, lest you be weary and you faint from the way. Lest you want to give up going to church. Lest you want to give up taking the stand for righteousness against all the ungodliness of this age. Consider him that endured. Remember how it says in the Bible, it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Steadfastly. He endured all the cold looks, all the callous calls, all the temptations, the Roman scourge, the mockery, the slaps on the face, the beatings, the imprisonment, all of it. He set his face against it all and he went steadfastly. He endured all right. Here's the endurance of our Lord. Can he say, here's the endurance of his saints? The Lord God opened mine ear, the Savior said. I was not rebellious. I didn't turn back. I didn't swerve away from the course. I didn't go into the bypath meadows to miss it and to get away from it. No, I endured. I gave my back to the smiters. I gave my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I didn't hide my face from the shame and the spitting. I went on unswervingly to the cross. Here's the patience of our Lord. What did Peter say? Who, when he was reviled, he didn't revile again. He didn't revile back. He endured it. When he suffered, he didn't threaten. He didn't sin. He didn't do wrong. No, he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. He endured. The head certainly had it, brethren and sisters. And the Lord is weary that we, his body, might have it too. In the difficult days, in the apostasy, in the great turning away. Oh, there's a great turning away. Even in the church, there's a great turning away from God's standards. But we have to continue. The endurance is manifested in continuing to keep the commandments of God. That's what endurance is. Endurance in the commandments. In obedience. Especially saints do not swerve from that. This evidence or manifestation of endurance is especially manifested in the next chapter, in chapter 14. where we read a repetition of our text, chapter 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. The Lord Jesus says it again. Here it is. He's always drawing attention to it. Chapter 13 and 14. And then he adds, here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. You see how their endurance is seen? They endure in keeping the commandments of God. That's important. That's what endurance is. You see, that's the problem in this world of these beasts. There are some who care for and keep God's commandments. The beasts don't like that. There are some in the world who stand up against the tyranny. There are some in the world who stand up against the great wickedness, the great unrighteousness. There are some who bear the testimony and continue to keep the commandments of God in the midst of that. And the beasts don't like that. There are some who believe and endeavor to obey God whenever he says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And the beasts don't like that. And they rise up and persecute this church for its righteousness and for its stand for God. They don't like the church who believes and endeavors to obey God when he says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and he shall cleave unto his wife. The world doesn't like that. Doesn't like that message. Doesn't like that emphasis. Doesn't like the church saying, that's the way it is with God. And it's persecuted, and it will be persecuted. And it doesn't like the church when it says, in obedience to God, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Doesn't like that. It doesn't like it either. And there's some Christians who don't like it as well. Whenever it says, remember the Sabbath day. To keep it holy. To let it be different. God's day. And thou shalt not kill. And they don't like it when it says that even enters into the womb. Because there's life in the womb. There's special life in the womb. There's protected life in the womb. Life in its weakness, in its origin, in its vulnerability in the womb. Thou shalt not kill. And the state doesn't like it when the church says that's what God says. And it's persecuted. But we must continue, brethren and sisters, so that the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus and the Father can come here as the three witnesses and say over this flock and over his church, here is the endurance of the true saints. You will notice this patience is not alone. This grace of endurance is not by itself, because it says, here is the patience and the faith of the saints. That "and" attaches another grace to this grace of endurance, and that grace is faith. You can study that in the Bible. You can get a concordance and go through all the verses where patience and faith come together in the Bible. It's very often. And here it is again. These two sister graces, patience, endurance, faith. There's no endurance without faith. And there's no true faith if it doesn't have endurance. They go together. They are inseparable. This grace also has the definite article, the faith. Not any kind of faith, a very special faith, the faith of the saints. Both go together. You see, the true endurance is only found where there is the faith of the saints. That's the root. The root of endurance is faith. No one continues without faith. That's not any kind of faith either, brethren and sisters. That's why it has the definite article. After all, everybody has faith. Everybody believes something. Everybody has faith in something. The worldling has faith. He has faith in the beasts. He goes after the beasts. He has his trust in the man of whom they say, who's able to make war against him? We have our faith in him. We have our faith in his machinery that he set up. We have our faith in his number. We have his faith in his policies and in his political decisions. We have the faith in the world power. We have the faith in the government. We have the faith in human learning and technology and faith in science, or what men call science, and what the Bible calls science, falsely so called. Not any kind of faith, but only the faith of the saints. And what kind of faith is that? Well, we know what kind of faith that is, brethren and sisters. It's a faith that believes what God says. That's the faith of the saints. We just believe the Bible. If God says it, we believe it. Faith that trusts in and obeys God's word. Here is the faith of the saints. Faith that trusts in the revelation. Even the book of the revelation. We trust in the book of the revelation. We believe it. We trust this God who we see in this book is sovereign. We believe he's sovereign. We believe the Lamb who was slain is in the midst of the throne. We believe it. We believe he opens up the book of God's decrees, opens up the seals, and sends all the judgments on the earth. We believe he's reigning. We believe it. That's the faith of the saints. That's why we endure. Because we believe it. We trust in his reign. We trust that the promises of God are true. Saints endure because they believe and trust in Jesus Christ. You see, true faith sees. It sees beyond what the worldling can see. And because it sees beyond what the worldling can see, he endures, the believer endures. You see, the ungodly cannot understand this endurance. They can't see. They don't have the faith. And they just can't understand Christians. Why would they suffer? Why would they die for the faith? Why do they keep protesting about these things? They're not allowed to buy and sell. They're closed out of the economy. They have been removed from all the benefits of citizenship. But still they don't receive the mark. Still they don't give in. What is it about these saints that they go on? They see. They see by faith. That's why. Faith makes you see. Makes you see what the world can't see. What do they see? The saints see the whole picture. The book of the Revelation gives us a whole picture. That's how we can go through it. We have the whole picture. God has given it so that we'll endure. This is why this book of the Revelation has been given to you, you know. That you'll endure. That you'll continue. They see that God will win the day. By faith we see that. We see that the dragon and the beast out of the sea and the false prophet are going to be cast into the lake of fire. We see that. We see that those who have the number of the beast are damned. We see that. We have this sight because we believe the Bible, because we have faith. We see the judgment day. And faith enables us to truly weigh up things. Remember how Paul said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. How did he know that? How did he do this reckoning, this arithmetic, this accountancy? How was he able to do this? Because he had faith. He could see beyond through God's word. I reckon, he says. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. How does he know that? Good when you're thrown to the beasts. Good when you're thrown into prison. Good whenever you're robbed of your goods. How do you know that, Paul? Because of his faith. Because he believes the Bible. Because he believes the promises of God. Our light affliction is but for a moment, he says. And it even works for a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. How can you say that, Paul? Because we don't look at the things which are seen like the worldling. We look at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal. They're for the burning. But the things which are not seen, that we're looking for and we're looking at by faith, they're eternal. You read it there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And like Moses, by faith he forsook Egypt. By faith he put himself in the path of suffering. By faith he stood with the despised people of God. By faith he endured the wrath of a terrible Pharaoh. How did he do it? Because he saw him who is invisible. He had the endurance to do it because he saw by the faith that all the saints have. Endurance and faith. And other graces needed if we are to stand steadfastly in this world of wickedness and apostasy. It is the grace of heavenly wisdom. And so a third grace is named at the end of the chapter, commencing with this same word, here. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding. This also is needed in a world of mass deception. In a world where the unbeliever is easily deceived, the people of God need understanding. What the Bible calls wisdom. Here's wisdom. The wisdom here is not earthly or carnal. It's heavenly wisdom. It is understanding. What is wisdom? Wisdom is understanding of what is good and what is evil. That's wisdom. The person who knows what is wrong and what is right, straight down the line, is wise. It's what the Bible calls the fear of the Lord. That's wisdom. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. That's right. Has to be done. That's wrong. Can't be done. Because of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, right and wrong, on each hand, walking that path, that narrow path. Discernment. It's the fear of the Lord that is wisdom. It's discernment to recognize the wicked one. It's discernment to recognize evil. It's the plain fear of God and the common sense that the Holy Spirit gives saints, whereby they can say, that's not right. That's wrong. There's no way you can justify that. There's no way you can say that's right. That's what we're talking about. Here's wisdom. It's not going to be fooled about this number. It's going to weigh it all up. It's going to have understanding. It's going to be able to say, this is a trinity of wickedness. This is a trinity of man-made wickedness. The number of a man, 666, a trinity of wickedness. And the people of God can see it. The people of God can discern it. The people of God can understand it. Because the place where there's endurance and the place where there's faith, there's also this wisdom. Here it is. Here's wisdom. It's able to recognize evil. Even when it's disguised. Even when it looks like it's a lamb with two wee horns coming out. It's able to discern. It's not blinded, not deceived, not deluded, not sucked in to think that unrighteousness is somehow righteousness. It is the ability to do the spiritual mathematics and weigh things up. Here's wisdom. Let him who has the understanding do the maths. Do the counting. Have the discernment and the understanding to weigh it all up. So numbering things as to be able to say, this amounts to wickedness. We'll not be doing it. We'll not be supporting it. We'll not be giving our vote for it. We'll not be behind it. We can't love anything to do with this wickedness. And so you see, there are some good things in this chapter. There's a church in an age of apostasy who's enduring, continuing, having the spiritual discernment, and will one day come out of the great tribulation in their garments made white by the blood of the Lamb, and they'll sit down with Christ in his throne. Here it is. Brethren and sisters, are we in this place? Are we in this location? Are we in this spot where these things are found? Oh, may it be so through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.